dedicate this morning's reading is taken from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, and that's on page, I don't know what it is on the Church Bibles, 988 in the Church Bibles. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them, right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you so much, Alan, for getting those in exactly the right places. As we come to look at God's word together this morning, Matthew 21, was it 988, I think, in the Bibles? Or do get up on your phone. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we ask that you would speak to each of our hearts. May we know you more. May we love you more. For your glory's sake. Amen. So, I've got a little bit of an interactive talk this morning, so I'm just going to pop the string across the front. I have tested it this morning, but here's where we find that I've wound it up too tightly, and it's not going to work now. Oh dear. I should have just left it up when I had it up. I think we might be, there we go. Great, thanks, Rob. Oh, now I can't see the hook. Here. Perfect. So if you're wondering what's going on, listen up. And we're going to add some things to this string here as we go through this morning. So earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus asks his disciples this question. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, one of the disciples, answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So as we think about this passage that we've heard read to us this morning by Sue, I'd like to invite us to keep in mind that question. Who do you say I am? If Jesus asked us that question, if Jesus asked you that question, who do you say I am? How would you respond? How would we respond? In our reading this morning, we heard verse 10, that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds, they answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Verse 11. So who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to each of us? As the events in our Bible reading unfold, there are lots of ways in which Jesus and the crowd appear to be on the same page, preparing for the same thing. But when we look a little more closely, we discover that actually Jesus and the crowd are viewing these events through very different lenses. I don't know if you've ever had any situations where you're viewing something from one perspective and someone else is viewing it from a different perspective. So I thought we'd do a little bit of a quiz this morning to think about what's going on for Jesus and what's going on for the crowd. So we're going to make two lists. So a Jesus list with what's going on for Jesus. So let's see if this works. Here we go. And a crowd list. Have I put it in the right sort of place? Can you see it? Yep. There we go. So we're going to think about what's going on for Jesus and what's going on for the crowd. So I've got written down some different things that might be going on for Jesus and all the crowd. And I'd like you to put up your hand and tell me which list I should add them to. It could be both lists. So this is the first one, preparing for something significant. I can see Rob's got his hand up and just gonna, Joy's got a hand up. Ellie's got a hand up, let's come to Rob then. You think both? Anyone got a different answer? You think Jesus? So I've actually got it down as both, and we're gonna have a think about that in just a moment. So I think this is gonna work. I'm gonna try and add things like this. So I've got preparing for something significant for both the crowd and Jesus. Let's see if this works. So let's have a think about this. Both Jesus and the crowds, I think, are preparing for something significant to happen. Even Matthew, actually, the gospel writer, is preparing us, the hearers and readers, for something significant. So if we had a list here, I think this would go on our list as well. Just look with me at the beginning of the reading. The level of detail we have at the start of the gospel reading is not just Matthew locating events. If that were the case, it would have been enough to say as they approached Jerusalem. But he says a bit more than that. Matthew is building the tension. He's making sure we understand the significance of what's about to happen. So we're told, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Matthew, by adding in all these details, is building the tension. Something significant lies ahead. So I think both Jesus and the crowds, they're preparing for something significant. And Matthew is preparing us for something significant. Okay, next one. What list do we think this should go on? So there was a hand up here. Which list am I putting it on? Jesus or the crowds? Or the crowd? Jesus? Anyone want to? Go on. So you could be onto something. If I showed you the next one I've got here, which is arriving to be proclaimed king, does that? Yeah, so I'm going to explain what's going on in just a moment. I could probably actually do with if anyone wants to come and be the peg monitor this morning. Oh, Rob's coming, and then I can actually. Have I done that about right? So, Jesus is arriving as king. The crowd are expecting Jesus to arrive to be proclaimed king. Let's think about that difference. So Jesus is preparing to enter Jerusalem as king. The crowds are preparing to proclaim Jesus as king. Now, historically, the heirs of King David rode to their coronation. And this is what the crowds would have had in mind as events unfolded. The crowds are expecting to proclaim Jesus king like their ancestors had done for King David 1,000 years before. So they're thinking, this guy is coming into Jerusalem, and when he arrives, we're going to proclaim him as king. That's what the crowds are thinking. However, Jesus is arriving as the one who is already king, as the promised Messiah. I don't know if you noticed that actually in our reading, Gospel writer Matthew has Jesus arriving on a donkey and a colt at the same time. I often wonder how that would have worked. Have you ever noticed that? And it definitely says, which verse is it? The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. There you go. That's something to wonder about for the rest of your day. Jesus is arriving as the one who is already king. And Matthew's gospel is really keen to make it clear that he is this promised king that was spoken of in the Old Testament. And I think that's why we have donkey and colt in Matthew's account, because the Old Testament we have verse 5 from Zechariah. It says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so Matthew wants to make it unambiguously clear that what's going on in Jerusalem is what was promised by Zechariah in the Old Testament. So the crowds say that Jesus is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee who's come to be king. In actual fact, Jesus is already the king. So crowds, he's come to be proclaimed as king. Jesus, he's coming already as king. What have I got next? Let's try this one. Which list should this go on? I'm hearing lots of kind of Jesus rumblings. Anyone think it's great? So Rob, if you can add this to the Jesus list, and it kind of follows then that which list should this one go on? It says, have no idea what's ahead. The crowd. So there we go. So let's have a little think about that just for a moment. So Jesus, he knows what's ahead. The crowds have no idea really what's ahead. They think they know what's coming up, but they really don't have any idea. Now there's a couple of ways in which Jesus knows what's ahead. He knows what's physically ahead. He knows that there's a village with a donkey and a colt, and he knows what the disciples need to say when they're challenged in order to be given the donkey and the colt. So he knows what's physically ahead, and that's significant in itself that he knows that. But he also knows the journey that's ahead. Jesus knows his destiny, his divine purpose. He knows what he's been sent to do. Jerusalem is the holy city, and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is significant, but not for the reasons the crowds think. They have no idea of the scale of what's about to happen. So quick recap, they're both on the same page, preparing for something significant. But Jesus, he's already the king. He's arriving as the king. Crowds think he's arriving to be proclaimed king. Jesus knows what's coming up. The crowds think they know what's coming up, but actually have no clue. Okay, next one. What do you think on this? Which list? This says victorious. What do you think? Jesus list or the crowd list? There's a hand at the back. Jesus. We can definitely have it on the Jesus list. Anyone like to suggest any other lists we might have it on? And so that would be a kind of victory. Yep. So I think we can have it on the crowd list as well, but we're going to think a little bit more about that. So Jesus knows he will be victorious. Remember, he knows what's ahead. And the crowds expect Jesus to be victorious. So on one level, they're on the same page. So we've got victorious on both lists. The way in which events unfold, the spreading of cloaks, the cutting of branches to lay on the road, it has a regal air, echoing the arrival of victorious kings in times past, coming to free an oppressed people. So the people in Jerusalem, they're expecting Jesus to come in power and might and win the battle and defeat Roman rule. Jesus, he is coming to win the battle, but he's got a very different kind of battle in mind. Now, it's worth just noting at this point that the people in the crowd would have been unlikely to have a second cloak. So spreading their cloak along the road would have been a pretty powerful display of honour, of respect, of submission. By putting their cloak on the ground, they are showing nothing is too much for King Jesus. Can you imagine if you've got your best coat and actually it's your only coat and you're going to put it on a dusty, dirty ground? That's a pretty big deal. The word Hosanna, which the crowd shout, is a plea for deliverance. That's what Hosanna means. Please save us. It's likely it would have had political undertones. The crowds would probably have been thinking in terms of deliverance from the oppressive Roman rule. So Jesus would indeed be the great deliverer. So he would indeed be victorious, which is why we've got victorious on the Jesus list. But at this moment in time, what victory will look like for Jesus and what the crowds imagine victory will look like, they're worlds apart. So they're kind of on the same page. Jesus is coming as this victorious king, but they're just on different planes. On the same page, but on different planes. Jesus has got a cosmic kind of victory in mind. The crowd have got an earthly victory in mind. So I think I just have a couple more. See what you make of this one. Which list should this go on near in the end? I'm hearing some mumblings. We've got a suggestion of Jesus. Yeah, I think so. And so then you'll have kind of figured out, I've tried to sort of balance the lists. Which list does this one go on? The crowd. So let's just have a little think about this just for a moment. So for Jesus, his arrival in Jerusalem as king marks the beginning of his final days on earth, the final days of the journey that will lead to his death on the cross for the sins of the world. So Jesus is the king on his way to deliver and save God's people from death and sin. And he's going to do that through dying and rising again. The crowd, on the other hand, thought Jesus was about to begin his work of deliverance. But actually, Jesus was about to complete his work of redemption. So for Jesus, he's near the end. He's about to complete what he came to do. The crowd think he's at the beginning. This is the beginning of victory, of the battle being won. And Jesus is about to complete his work of redemption. The shouting of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven, was absolutely an appropriate response to Jesus. So the crowd's kind of got it right here, but just for the wrong reasons. So Jesus is this great deliverer, but he's not going to deliver in the way that they're imagining. The deliverance and salvation Jesus will bring won't initially look like a great act of triumph. It will look like suffering and death. But ultimately, it will be the greatest act of salvation creation can know. In the short term, the crowds will be disappointed. They're preparing for something significant. They think they're going to proclaim Jesus as king, but they have no idea really what's going to happen. They're expecting him to be victorious, but it's not going to happen in the way that they're expecting. They think he's at the beginning of doing something big in earthly terms, whereas Jesus is nearing the end of his life, doing something amazing, but in cosmic terms. What initially will appear to be bad news is going to turn out to be the best news ever. So, what does this mean for us? I don't know about you, but I recognize in myself some of the characteristics of the crowds, particularly those of wanting things to be simple and immediate. If only life was simple and immediate. Or thinking I understand when I don't really. Like from the angle you're looking at something at, you think, well, hang on, this looks like this. But we don't always have the full picture. I don't know if you ever do that. The crowds say that Jesus is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee who's come to be king. In actual fact, Jesus is already the king. Jesus knows what's ahead. The crowds have no idea. And ultimately, I think this is good news. Because God is God, and we are not. Sometimes I think I'd like to be God, but actually I think it's good that I'm not. But what this means is that things don't always happen in the timing or way I expect. How often do we pray for things and have in our minds what God's answer will look like, only for God to answer us in a completely different way from what we were expecting? So who is Jesus for each of us? How would you respond to that question? Who do you say I am? Or when the crowds asked, who is this? What would be the answer that you would give? Who is King Jesus for you? And so I'd just like to end with a few things that King Jesus is for me. Jesus is a king who knows us better than we know ourselves and knows our needs better than we know them. He's a king who has the big picture and invites us to trust him for the future. He's a king who delivers and saves, a king who journeyed through death on a cross so that we might have new life, eternal life. A king who is righteous and just. A king who is humble and mighty at the same time. A king whose kingdom is light. Who reigns forever in glory. Jesus is Lord and he is on his throne. Thank goodness for that. The crowds were responding in the right way. With all the right words. But for the wrong reasons. So my invitation to all of us is that we might pray this Holy Week that we would loosen our grip a little on our own expectations and hopes and longings and allow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to speak and work more deeply in our lives. Often I think I'm a bit more like the crowd in how I relate to Jesus. I think I know what's coming. Actually, my invitation to us this morning is to claim who Jesus actually is. He's already king. He's on his throne. He knows what's ahead. He is victorious. The work of redemption is completed. Let's claim that afresh this morning. Amen.